man. It is the Matt McNeil Show. You know when you start your show, oh, for God's sakes, not this again. Indeed. Hi, I'm Matt. It's Eric. Hey, Eric.
Hey.
A few things we should have mention. It just has happened. Trump has declared the border wall to be a national emergency. He's expected to sign the spending bill and declare a national emergency to secure funding for his long-promised wall. Basically, he's going to take money away from forest fires, from hurricane relief, from earthquake relief, from flood relief. He's going to take that money set aside for national emergencies to build a wall which will not stop anyone from coming into the United States. And, yeah. and as I pointed out this morning, the same people, isn't it ironic, the same people who are cheering on Trump's massive land grab of privately held land. All the land on that border is privately held. He is seizing millions of acres of land all the way along the border from private citizens. The same people who are defending that were the same people who thought it was great for militias to put guns onto government workers because all they wanted to do was have them pay to graze on federal lands. That, you remember that? The Bundy guys? Yeah. The Bundy guys, that was government overreach, man, making us pay to graze on lands. But government stealing land from everyone on the border to basically build a wall, well, that's just... Yeah, and of course, what are the Republicans going to do? Nothing! Of course, they're going to be the first ones saying, what do you mean there's no emergency relief aid when flooding hits their district? I don't condone this, but we need everyone to pass this bill. I can't believe there's no money. Well, and by the way, and also, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. The minute the Democrats become the president of the United States, well, you know what we should do? Declare a national emergency on climate change.
Yeah.
Declare a national emergency on climate change. And just basically say the heck with it. We're going to do this. And there is nothing the Republicans can say to back this up. Because now that you've opened up this Pandora's box, everything is game. And it's like I said, eventually the Democrats will take back control of everything. And the Republicans will be like, why are you not using the filibuster? We respected the filibuster. Bull crap, they did. You know, I'm just hopeful there's not a Supreme Court opening next year in the election year just to watch Mitch McConnell, you know, basically say, well, this is very different. That president was black and he's not a black president, so I'm going to let him get another Supreme Court justice in here. Man, let's just be honest about it. Mitch McConnell's a racist jackass. But anyway, there's a lot on that to break. We'll try to get back to that here in just a little bit this afternoon. But I want to actually spend a good chunk of the first part of this show giving an update on a story we talked about a lot last fall, but we have not been able to talk about that much in recent weeks because of, well, just we haven't had any updates on it, but as well, I realized I have not given an update on this story. And this is the Ashby Farmers Co-op up in Ashby, Minnesota. Now, Eric, I don't know if you remember this story. The Ashby Farmers Co-op, small little town in Ashby, Minnesota. This was, you know, if you've ever been to a small town, the co-op is really the epicenter of business within that town. It's where all the crops come in. It's where, you know, basically it's the advocate for the farmers locally is that local co-op. And they are vitally important. I mean, really what decides when you drive through rural Minnesota and rural Iowa and rural Nebraska and rural Dakotas, the towns that survived are the ones that still have a co-op. The ones that did not survive do not have a co-op anymore. And that is really kind of the delineation point. And there is nothing sadder than going into a small town and realizing it's dead because the co-op, you know, couldn't, you know, survive. It just basically merged with another co-op. All the crops went to the neighboring town and henceforth all the business went to the neighboring town as well. Well, there is a big problem in Ashby, Minnesota with the co-op and namely a massive amount of theft at the co-op by the manager of the Ashby Farmers Elevator Co-op, Jerry Hennessy. He basically stole $5 million from this co-op. I mean, and on a co-op that size, I want to step back because we have to acknowledge the racism and the way that we interpret things in this world as we see this, okay? And you'll see where I'm going with this. I mentioned before that if this was a case where this was an African-American man in Ashby, Minnesota, taking multiple coins from the take a penny, leave a penny jar, and someone called in saying, he's taking all the pennies from the penny, take a penny, leave a penny jar. Not only would there be five squad cars outside that cafe with guns drawn, everyone would be arrested, and the county attorney would be out there saying, we're going to keep these people under lock and key until we get some answers. And they would. And they'd hold these people for a few weeks and then finally say, well, we didn't discover any crimes. It was a mistake, but we're keeping our eye on them. And they would. And you can't, and bull crud, if you come back at me and tell me, oh, that's not true. Of course it's true. Of course it's true. I've lived in small towns. I know exactly what the mentality is. Meanwhile, this guy, do you understand? People don't seem to understand how purposely ignorant the community of Ashby had to be at this guy with all the things that he was doing, that he wasn't stealing the money. I mean, he was almost trying to get caught stealing this money. I mean, he was going on safaris, once-in-a-lifetime trips.
Safaris, wow.
He was going on safari to Africa, and then he went to safari in Australia, and then he went to a safari in New Zealand. And at no point did anyone say, you know what? How much are we paying the co-op manager at Ashby Co-op? Because those are like once-in-a-lifetime vacations, and he's doing one every year. They purposely didn't. This guy's house, and I'll get to the house here in a second, but there's photos of this guy's house, and I'm going to post all this stuff later on. You have got to see. The guy's got basically his own Cabela's in the place. Like 60 outfits, guns, and then the taxidermy. This guy was addicted to taxidermy. And if you've ever had a duck or a fish mounted, you ever had something nice enough that you wanted to mount it, and by the way, you don't do that anymore. What you do is you basically just take the measurements, you take a nice picture of it, mm-hmm. and then you throw the fish back in the lake so that it can, you know, reproduce, and then you basically take the image and the measurements and you go to a guy that makes a reproduction of it, and that's what you do. But that's expensive. This guy has a stuffed freaking giraffe. He has a stuffed giraffe.
Whoa.
He made
an entire giraffe? Where does he put that?
There are more stuffed animals in this guy's house, and I am not joking, than the Bell Museum of Natural History has. Sweet Jesus, this guy has got this. You have to be purposely ignorant. Because, and what it is it's the conservative dream. He's living the conservative dream. He is vacationing and hunting. I wish I was him. And at no point does everything click. And it's like, God, I was just down buying a gun. And that was that Benelli shotgun. That's a $500 shotgun. He's got nine of them. That doesn't seem like a kind of a purchase a guy that's running a grain elevator would be able to make. And it's in, like I said, and I mean, how many times do people in rural America make the comment about, oh, we're not going to give food aid to the hungry because I see them in their Escalades with their cell phones. You know what they're saying.
Yeah.
They make up crime. They will make up crime about black people. They will just make crap up out of the sky to vilify them and not this. And here's this guy basically rubbing the theft in their faces, and they refuse to even see it.
Do you know how long this was going on?
For years. Wow. Okay, so now the last we'd heard, Mr. Hennessy was on the run. He had called, it was September 10th. He called up his buddy, and I think we talked about this in November. In September 10th, he called up his buddy. Buddy came and picked him up. He told his buddy to turn off his phone and then take out the card out of the phone, the SIM card out of the phone. They drove, we now know, to Iowa. We'll get to that in a second. And then he said, I left him at the side of the road, and that's the last we heard of him. All right, so now you're caught up. Jerry Hennessy, fugitive manager of the Ashby Farmers Elevator Co-op, turned himself into federal authorities as charges were filed on December 3rd. This was on December 5th. The Star Tribune on the 4th reported Hennessy had turned himself in, but federal authorities late in the day could not confirm it. Hennessy had been on the lam since September 10th. So once again, this is an update. We haven't talked about this in a while. He turned himself in. And you'll understand why I think this happened. He turned himself in on December 5th. Hennessy, 56, had managed to cooperate a cooperative in West Central Minnesota since 1988, Co-op lawyer Eric Algren of Fergus Falls said Hennessy had taken unauthorized transfers from the co-op since 2003. He had spent $500,000 in taxidermy alone and had written checks from the elevator to individuals in the taxidermy and hunting industry, labeling the money as paying for corn, soybeans, or other commodities. The co-op owes $8 million to CoBank, a major cooperative lender based in Denver. The elevator closed its doors September 14th. It's now leased and managed by another elevator. Farmers who deliver grain to the elevator are owed hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, once again, I want to make sure we understand this. This guy stole hundreds of thousands of dollars directly from the farmers and millions from the co-op. He's destroyed this town of Ashby. He has killed this town of Ashby. All right. In the complaint, IRS Special Agent Michael Leach said he was talked to witnesses and information from the Grant County Sheriff's Office, the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. Among the things he concluded in the complaint, Hennessy wrote more than $1.1 million in checks to himself. Numerous checks exceeded $40,000, and one was for $135,000. Checks were labeled as purchases of commodities, made $1.1 million in payments for a personal Cabela's Visa card in his own name. Many of those checks were more than $10,000. And four exceeded $30,000. Hennessy owes firearms, hunting, and sporting goods, all-terrain vehicles, a tractor, and many have been purchased with Cabela's, according to the complaint. Used company money to pay for hunting trip expenses, including $280,000 on an international big game hunting company in Wisconsin. Another $425,000 went to a South African hunting safari company, including a payment of $100,000 in 2015. The website for the hunts included numerous photographs of a hunt by Hennessy in 2015 with him sitting next to a lion, paid a Burnsville, Minnesota taxidermy company from 2013 to 2017. A dozen checks ranged from a few thousand to $75,000, more than $400,000 in all. The taxidermist identified $26,000 for South African mounts, $6,000 for Zimbabwe double kudu pedestals, $3,000 for South African backskins tanning, and more than $1,800 for zebra pedestal. Some of the payments helped cover cost of shipping animals from trips to South Africa, Spain, and the New Zealand. I said Australia, it was Spain he went to. And for a cameraman to take photographs during the hunts. The complaint adds some details to Hennessy's disappearance. The IRS said several Hennessy family members attempted to call his cell phone on September 10th. But once again, he turned his cell phone out and pulled out the card out of the thing. Hennessy's friend and former worker, Tim Leonard of Fergus Falls, on September 10th, had driven Hennessy to Des Moines, Iowa, 400 miles away, a journey of more than 6 hours. Leonard told agents he dropped Hennessy off on the side of the road. On November 30th, federal agents traveled to Des Moines, Iowa, interviewed PA is this individual. I'm not presuming it's Paul Allen, the voice of the Minnesota Vikings. probably not. It would be, this story got really interesting if it is, but it's not. It's a different PA, an acquaintance of Hennessy. PA said Hennessy on September 11th had called him, asked to meet him at a motel. PA met Hennessy at the motel in Des Moines area. Hennessy told him he'd gotten greedy and taken a lot of money from his employer. Hennessy asked PA if he could stay at their home. PA declined. Separately, Hennessy and his wife, Becky Hennessy, face a criminal lawsuit alleging $4.95 million in authorized payments, even though the co-op has since found fraudulent checks amounting to $5.5 million. Algren said he talked about adding double the amount of the punitive damages. So, by the way, and once again, the wife is, Becky is implying that she had no idea. Police, come on. You had to know. And before, I know people, Matt, you don't, okay, you had to know. And I think her only defense, which is really a defense, is I never asked. And that might be why she's, I never asked. We were going on traveling around the world and we had all this millions of dollars worth of house and stuff like that. She never once asked. All right. I think they're both guilty as sin, and I think they both deserve to go to jail. We'll get to that in a second. Also, Jerry Hennessy, the former general manager, has put his house up for sale. A nice little fixer-upper. Once again, if you're thinking about the salary of the Ashby co-op manager, how much do you think that house would be worth? I mean, seriously, think about this for a second. Rural Minnesota, local co-op manager, probably a little bit of acreage so they can do a little personal hobby farming, something like that. Nice little house. How much do you think that they would spend in rural Minnesota to get a nice little maybe?
A nice house, maybe 400.
Maybe 400 with some acres. Yeah, I'd say you're probably right. 350, 400.
Yeah.
You're going to get 20 acres with that. Nice little house. That's what I expect. And you know what? If you were the co-op guy, that might be a little bit out of your range, but you probably could make
that
happen.
Yeah, this is a nice house.
This is a nice house. But you probably could make that happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you'd have to be careful with your funds. His house was $795,000. Yeah. No one even batted an eye. He's accused of stealing $5 million. You got to see this house. Oh, my God. I mean, just the photos inside of it are just, you got to see this. At no point can anyone look at this house and imply in any way, shape, or form that Becky knew didn't know what was going on. She had to have known. Well, there is the development. He has turned himself in, and today in Minneapolis, he pled guilty. We'll get to that here in a second, because once again, I want to point out the injustice of this entire system that we have in place here, because this guy should not see the light of freaking day ever again. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Snow should be ending here in the metro area before too long, but do anticipate it's just going to be a magical drive home, I imagine. As a matter of fact, snow is already pulling out of the metro area. The northwest part of the metro is starting to see the end of it, still snowing out to the east towards Hastings, but that's moving fairly quickly. Less than an inch, they're saying, is going to be the total amount today. So, right before rush hour, so bon appetit. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. At the back of my
head, them are the boys. Are you concerned about health care reform, deportation, gun violence, the Line 3 pipeline? Learn how to make your voice heard. Register now for the Min by Min Beyond the Vote Conference on Sunday, February 24th at Harding High School in St. Paul. Minnesota artist and Northland Poster Collective co-founder Ricardo Levins Morales will kick off the day as the keynote speaker. The day-long conference features a variety of workshops and activities to help you better understand the issues, boost your activism skills, and connect with activist and advocacy communities across the state. Be sure to visit the exhibitor tables and try out the new hosted interactive walk-up stations. Register today at mnxmn.org. Early bird rates are available through Valentine's Day. Student discounts, scholarships, and child supervision are also available. Or sign up as a volunteer and attend sessions for free. For more details or to register, visit mnxmn.org. That's Min by Min Beyond the Vote Sunday, February 24th at Harding High School in St. Paul. Min by Min, empowering civic engagement in Minnesota.
Did you realize that Drink in the Style is available on iTunes, Google Play, and pretty much every other podcast platform out there? You can listen to past episodes of Drink in the Style, or maybe download our really cool martini glass graphic, or just listen to your favorite episode again and again. But if you do, I need to ask you for a quick favor. Hop online and give us a 5-star rating. It helps others find the show and also boosts my fragile ego. Drink in the Style. It's a great way to kill Sundays, or really, any time at all.
Hi, I'm Samantha, and I'm a certified massage therapist at Awakened Living. You might think massage therapy is a luxury, when in fact, it's necessity for having a healthier body. A massage at Awakened Living will relieve your body of everyday wear and tear, improve sleep, your posture, stress levels, and overall just make you feel better. I invite you to come in for some much-needed rest and relaxation at the Awakened Living Clinic in Bloomington. Call 952-452-8583 or visit awakenlivinginfusion.com.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Oh, you got to see this house. It just, and once again, this guy is this, you know, it's a conservative wet dream. And henceforth, that's why I think no one in this rural town and in this county batted an eye, is because when you when you go on out there, there's always a kind of a give and take on this sort of thing. When you go live your life trying to vilify some people like they do, and like I said, African American man takes an extra penny out of the take a penny, leave a penny jar in Ashby. They're going to have four squads with guns pulled because they always see crime when minorities are involved, and that's in some of these rural towns, and that's the truth. And don't you look at me as like, oh, Matt, you're labeling. No, I've lived in these towns. I have seen white people who the only minority they've ever met in their entire life is on a TV show talk authoritatively about minority issues, and it's hilarious and terrifying at the same time. And yet this guy is flaunting it. But because, you know, he's hunting and taxidermy, and he's got a tractor now. He's a big guy. No one ever said anything. And I actually brought up the point. I think the county sheriff has to answer some questions of how the hell this guy was able to get out of town when it became apparent that things were going south. They purposely had to be ignoring this because there's no way in hell if I would have walked out there and I said that guy's that house there is run by the guy that runs the co-op.
Yeah, I'm looking at the real estate listing. Anyone who went to the house would know that he's doing something.
He had had to have. How did you not drive past this house? It's not like it's hidden.
Or I'd be like, oh, co-op managers make that much money?
Yeah, exactly. The first thing I said is, did he inherit this house? No, he bought it and bought it. How much does he make as a co-op manager? And I am not, and you see, here's people, I am not an expert in this stuff. And yet I would have caught this guy probably within 5 freaking minutes of seeing him. But because, you know, he's hunting and he's stuffing the animals. That's our dream out here. He had a nice pickup truck. How do you look negatively on someone who has a nice pickup truck? Come on. You should have known. Former manager of the Grain Elevator of Western Minnesota pled guilty Thursday in Minneapolis to federal charges of mail fraud, tax evasion in a 15-year scheme to bilk his employer out of millions of dollars to pay for his exotic hunting and personal real estate purchases, property renovations, credit card balances, other items. Jerry Hennessy, 56, said he worked for the Ashby Farmers Co-op Elevator for 30 years and used his control over the bank accounts to write personal checks that he then disguised as the co-op's business expenses. He obtained a line of credit for about $7 million for the co-op by misrepresenting the amount of grain it had storage and used that amount to cover the illegal expenditures, which federal prosecutors say totaled about $5.3 million. Hennessy reserved the right to amend that figure after reviewing more than 16,000 pages of records that the government amassed in its investigation, but he agreed it was the amount of dollars. Assistant U.S. Attorney John Kokinen said the final amount would not affect the plea agreement. Hennessy admitted that he had not reported the money he stole from the co-op as income, resulting in a loss of $1.2 million in revenue for the IRS, $400,000 Minnesota Department of Revenue between 2011 and 2017. The statutory maximum penalty for the mail fraud charge is 20 years in prison, 3 years of supervised release, and a fine of $250,000, or twice the gross gain of the loss attributed to the crime. The maximum penalty to tax evasion is 5 years in prison, 3 years for supervised release, and a line of $250,000, a fine, I should say, not a line. The law requires Hennessy to pay restitution to the cooperative and other victims. He's also agreed to pay tax authorities $1.2 million in restitution after the victims are paid. The advisory sentencing guidelines suggest a prison term of 78 to 97 months. How many years is that total? I mean, did you make a mistake, guys? You meant years, right? 78 to 97 years, not 78 to 97 months.
Yeah, that's...
That's what, nothing.
Like 11 years?
Five, that six would be 72, so 6.5 years.
Oh, yeah, six.
6.5 years. Jesus. Supervised release to 1 to 3 years, a fine of $25,000 to $250,000. You steal $5.5 million. You live like a king for 15 years, and all you have to do is go to jail for 6 years.
Yeah.
Or 7 years.
That guy turned himself in.
Like, oh, 7 years. That's it. He's going to jail. Oh, but he's really sorry. Bull. This guy should not see the light of day. I'll get to that in a second. You Hennessy agreed to not appeal. The prison says if it does not exceed 97 months, and the government agreed not to appeal if it's at least 78 months. Chief District Judge John Tulin noted that there is not a bound to the guidelines, but would consider them at sentencing, which is scheduled for June 13th. Hennessy declined to comment after the sentencing hearing. Once again, I want to make sure we understand all of what happened here and why this is so inadequate as a punishment goes. If an African American, a Latino man, a Native American robbed the local diner and they got $20, that guy would probably go to jail for longer than this guy is going to go to. And the entire time, the county attorney would be screaming about, he was taking money out of the hands of hardworking rural country folk. That's what he'd be saying. That's what he'd be saying. And let's cut the crud. That's what he would be saying. They would say that at the thing. It's like, how dare you take money from the salt of the earth? For goodness sakes, they are the most decent human beings. They're just out struggling, and you try to steal $20 from them. You're going to jail for 10 years. And that would be, no one would bat an eye. I mean, I think most people, you know, that realize that, you know, the problems we have with sentencing in this country would bat an eye, but In the small town, they would all say, he got what he deserved. He tried to take $20 from the diner. And right now, there are plenty of conservatives around the metro area as well. They'd be like, yeah, man, he tried to take $20 from a restaurant. Put him in jail for the rest of his life. This guy stole $5.5 million. And there was plenty of, this wasn't an accident. This wasn't, you know, an accidental double paycheck. He went and got a loan against the co-op to hide his theft. This was by design. He went and took money out of the hands of all these hardworking farmers in Ashby. All of them. He stole from every farmer that worked at that co-op, that used that co-op, that was their co-op. He stole from all those salt of the earth types. He is probably bankrupt himself. 20 to 25 farmers. Himself has bankrupt 20 to 25 farmers. He has killed the town of Ashby. He has killed this small town with his crime of greed, conservative greed, because that's what he had to be, the big dealer, wheeler, spender. He had to be the guy out hunting, doing the safaris. He had to be the guy that could impress all of his buddies. And that is the only reason he stole the money from the farmers. And you're thinking this guy gets 7 years? This country's legal system is so blank and broken, I can't even begin. This guy, with purpose and intent, bankrupted farmers, killed the town of Ashby, and we're like, are you promising you're not going to do it again? Oh, boy. If he was black, if Jerry Hennessy was black, I guarantee you Jerry Hennessy would not be coming out of jail until he comes out in a coffin. But white guy doing conservative things with the money, well, can you really blame him? Can you? Oh, I bet that safari was a lot of fun. This guy should never see the light of day again. And by the way, we're completely skipping the running away from law enforcement element of this. On the lam for 3 months, hiding out in Des Moines. Really? Hiding out in Des Moines? Okay. It's disgusting. You have an atrocious crime committed against the farmers and the people of Ashby, Minnesota, a crime which they themselves should have sniffed out years ago, but because it was conservative spending, they thought it was just something to admire. And in the end, he kills off the town, he kills off a bunch of farmers' careers, and gets 7 years. but let me tell you about the time that the one African-American man came into town and he took two pennies out of a take-a-penny, leave-a-penny container. Oh, boy, did we taught him the lesson he'll never forget. Jesus. Please tell me, Keith Ellison, please tell me there's something you can charge this guy with and throw his ass in jail for the rest of his life, please. The people of Ashby, the farmers of Ashby, rural America deserves a far harsher penalty than this pathetic slap on the hand. For God's sakes, he was living high on the stolen money for longer than he'll serve in jail. Is that really punishment? Because I think what you've just told everyone is this. Hey, for 15 years, you can steal the money from your employer, live high on the hog, and have a great time. Because in the end, yeah, we're only going to, if you're white, if you're white and you're in rural Minnesota, we're really only going to, you know, charge you for, you know, just a little bit and send you to jail for a few years. So 12 years, 15 years of fun and sun, 3 years, 6 years of jail time. There's a lot of people who would take that trade-off. A lot of people indeed. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. When we come on back, the breaking news, Trump declares a national emergency. Not his administration, believe it or not. No. Apparently for a border wall. And yeah, it is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hey, it's Brett from our new 4 p.m. show, the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, and I'd like to invite you to another repartee of sort. It's the 2019 Blue State Ball. This will actually be the fourth Blue State Ball I've attended, and I'm really looking forward to this year's. Why? Well, because after living through some tough times of the Donald Trump election and a Republican Congress, we finally turned the tide last November with the Blue Wave. So come celebrate all your hard work last year of door knocking and getting out the vote at the Blue State Ball on Saturday, March 2nd at the Blaisdell in Minneapolis. I'll be there along with my Minnesota Progressive Repartee co-hosts Doug Padgett, Hunter Haas, Matt McNeil, Ellie Krug, and Robert Pilot will be there, and so will our headliner, Tom Hartman. Plus, we're sure to add many more speakers and politicians in the coming weeks. As always, attire is blue jeans to ball gowns. So let's party at the Blue State Ball on Saturday, March 2nd at the Blaisdell and celebrate that blue wave. Tickets available now at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show, your source for elder care and caregiver solutions, inviting you to listen to our live call-in show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding elder care and caregiver issues to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your best quality of life. Please join us this Saturday from noon to 1 for the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show and learn more about us at minnesotahospice.com.
It is indeed Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, and I'm playing Agent Orange. Nice. it is Valentine's Day. Do you have your reservations? Well, I don't know how the local Minnesota restaurants are going to be. It's a busy night for shopping and going on out and enjoying things. It is a busy night. I will encourage you to go there. There's a good laundry list of restaurants all throughout the metro area. You can call, find one, see if you can get some reservations, and enjoy eatlocalminnesota.com. It's a great place to go. And happy Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day story for you this morning, Eric. So I first of all, I was completely, you know, T-boned by the idea that the grocery store would be busy. I usually go grocery shopping early on Thursday mornings because it's a great time. I get in there, and usually not that many people in there. But, of course, today, Valentine's Day, the place was packed.
Huh.
There was about 1,000 guys buying flowers in the flower area and the donut area. Dear Lord. I mean, that was kind of like, you know, Thunderdome going on in there. There's hardly any. Usually,
I did not know there was a demand for donuts on Valentine's Day.
We don't judge. You know, it was just nuts. It was just nuts. Anyway, so I'm there. And just to get you in the Valentine's spirit, I'm checking out of the grocery aisle. And I mentioned, wow, I said to the cash register woman, who, see if you can figure out what her mentality about being at the store busy early on a Thursday is, okay? I say to her, wow, I mean, I can't believe how busy this place is. And she goes, I've already had like, she goes, like 100 customers already. And it was 8 o'clock in the morning and they'd been really busy. So while that's a lot, I said, but the donuts are all getting destroyed. I said, I know I had some guy in here complaining to me about the donuts. And I'm like, hey, pal, that's not my department. But you know what? He complains all the time, but he'll be dead soon anyway. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
She says that, and there's a moment I'm like, oh, all right, just keep eyes down, no eye contact with the evil demon lady.
She's just staying positive.
I just said,
look on the bright side, he'll be dead soon.
Yeah, the guy's going to be dead soon. Hey, did you see this 2-for-1 on the raspberries? That's delicious. I love that. Did I give you my discount card? Or don't kill me. Happy Valentine's Day. I bet she's going to get a big old heart of candy from someone today. Brad's in Robbinsdale. Let's run the calls here. Brad, thanks for holding. Welcome on in.
Okay, well, it sounds like this fellow in northern Minnesota just killed a town and possibly ruined the life and possibly killed many of the residents up there. So in my opinion, I think the French during the Revolution came up with an appropriate form of punishment, which I think is justified in this case.
No, you know, and he, I think he definitely deserves more than 7 years. And thanks, Brad. I'm not going to necessarily jump down the guillotine aisle quite yet. But I will say this. This guy, you know, he didn't steal. I mean, as Tony mentioned on the Facebook feed, he didn't just steal from rich people. He stole from people who are living check to check, whose margins for the entire year are $20,000 to $25,000. He stole from them in his quest for safaris and taxidermy and all this stuff. It's really disturbing. And you know, and the fact that this guy could be out of jail in 7 years, and that's unacceptable. It'd be 6 years, a little more than 6 years, 6.5 years. He could be out of jail in 6.5 years. Come on. You know, it's how many African Americans do we have in jail in this country right now who stole less than $100 in their crime and are in jail for the rest of their lives? How many? This guy steals $5.5 million, destroys the lives of numerous farmers, destroys the town of Ashby, Minnesota, and the best we can do is 6.5 years? Come on. Gene is in North Minneapolis. Gene, thanks for holding. Welcome into the show.
Yeah. I just happened to notice that Trump decided to declare the national emergency on the day that Barr got through his nomination hearings. So the vote came in, and Republicans indeed put another, well, he's not a criminal, but he got a criminal off when George Bush was president.
Well, I don't know.
Advised him to pardon everybody, and that would make the crime go away, and then.
And Gene, I will say this. He definitely is basically surrounding himself with people that will basically fall on as many swords as they have to, saying that executive privilege prevents him from ever have to answering for his crimes. And they'll do it. They'll say, yeah, he committed crimes. He can't be prosecuted for them. That's their argument. But I don't think necessarily the national emergency today, and thanks very much, Gene, I don't think the national emergency today was declared to hide the covering of the attorney general. The way that they do things, they would have done that to obscure the attorney general hearings. But, it is what it is. President Trump expected to sign both the spending bill and declare a national emergency to secure border funding for his long-promised wall against the U.S.-Mexican border. A border wall which, once again, Mexico was supposed to pay for. That the taxpayers, I'm never going to require you to pay for this. This is Mexico. Mexico complains it's another 10 feet higher. Me's funny. And now, Hey, do you live in a forest area that's prone to forest fires? Hey, do you live in Tornado Alley? Do you live anywhere where a hurricane can hit? Do you live anywhere where earthquakes strike? Funny story. All the national emergency money that we set aside for those problems, that's going to go away to build a border wall. So I hope that the tornadoes don't come through. I hope the hurricanes don't hit. I hope there's no forest fires. Hope that happens. Last time I checked, hurricanes have a bad habit of hitting those conservative districts of the southeast. You know, they sure love wiping that part of the country, scouring that clean down there. President Trump, Sarah Huckabee Sanders voice. I got to get deeper.
All right, there. President Trump will sign the government funding bill, and as he has stated before, he will also take other executive action, including a national emergency, to ensure we stop the national security and humanitarian crisis at the border.
Hey, I got news for you. If you want to stop the humanitarian crisis at the border, stop being jackasses. How about you do that? Stop being jackasses. That will stop the humanitarian crisis at the border. Senate Majority Leader Ertl the Turtle privately cautioned Trump earlier this year, or month rather, to avoid declaring a national emergency over the funding, warning the decision could spark backlash from members of his own party. Congress could pass a resolution against the declaration. McConnell had reportedly warned the president congressional disapproval would force Trump to consider a first-ever veto. Several Republicans have spoken out against Trump's threats in recent weeks to declare a national emergency. Marco Rubio said last month that he would also be a terrible idea and would set a bad precedent. McConnell announced Trump's intentions to declare a national emergency before the White House announcement and ahead of the congressional vote Thursday on a bill that would fund the shutdown for the remainder of the fiscal year to avoid another partial shutdown. Lawmakers from both parties tentatively reached the agreement on a bill Monday that would allocate $1.375 billion for 55 miles of pedestrian fencing. Oh, God. They're almost like they're taunting them. Along the U.S.-Mexican border, a fraction of the president's $5.7 billion demand from the $200 million. And once again, now, and there is not a single Republican that can look at us and say when the next Democrat comes in that, you know, should the Democrat declare a national emergency on climate change? Or at least do this, say, hey, Republicans, if I don't have a bill to fight climate change, I'm just going to declare a national emergency, and there's nothing you can do to stop them. Because you've set the precedent that when there's and I'll tell you what, there's a far more national security issue with climate change than there is with the border. So we'll have to see what happens here. But, I mean, and Democrats, if they are going to give you the ace in the deck, then for God's sakes, use it. All right? Gary is in Minneapolis. He wanted to chime in on something today. Welcome on in, Gary.
Punish crooked big money bankers or big money war criminals in this country, but if you're a member of the working class or a poor person, they lock you up in profit making prisons and the healthcare system. You get sick, they profiteer off you when you're sick. And that's what Republicans call free market. You know, I'll tell you something about Republicans. You know why they run dirty campaigns? They can't win if they run the issues. They never do nothing for us to help us.
That would be true. That would be true. Thanks, Gary. I appreciate the phone call. Let's take a break. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 on a just chock full day full of lovely stories. Happy Valentine's Day to you. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Minnesota's appliance specialist at Warner Stellion offer more ways to save, including fast free delivery, basic installation from specialists you can trust, free haulaway, and long-term, no-interest financing to qualified buyers. Enjoy guaranteed savings through February 25th on top-selling appliances from around the world. Join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners. Choose Warner Stellion to be your appliance specialist.
I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. You know I purchase my vehicles with Rudy Luther because I love my Toyota Sienna, but it's the extra things which make me a loyal Rudy Luther customer. A great example, the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchased, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. The Luther Advantage Cards keep you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 94, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
Food nourishes us. We need food to live. But how are we nourishing the food system? Well, actually, we're throwing a bunch of chemicals and we're making the dirt dead, and then we're adding nitrates to the water and we're causing dead zones in the ocean. Oh, and we're also causing climate change. We do that with every bite we eat. But we can create something different. We can switch to a regenerative system. And that's what we talk about every week on Food Freedom Radio. So tune to Food Freedom Radio Saturdays at 8 a.m. or anytime via podcast. Food Freedom Radio on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I'm trying to find, I had this and I don't have it anymore, the six Republicans that voted against the conversion therapy, the ban on conversion therapy bill yesterday. Hunter Cantrell, this was in the Health and Human Services Committee. I don't know. It was on party lines. All six Republicans said, no, you know, torturing gay people into believing that they're straight is a good thing. To be fair, they said they thought that the process was deplorable, but they thought this was government overreach. No, I got news for you. There's a national emergency that's declared to build a border wall. That would be the textbook definition of governmental overreach. But you're not going to ever complain about that. But heaven forbid we try to stop gay people from being abused into a life that's not theirs. Armed with a wagon load of Valentine's Day cards and stories of traumatic treatment by survivors, advocates pressed Minnesota lawmakers Wednesday to ban gay conversion therapy, the widely discredited practice to trying to make gay people not gay. And opponents of the ban pressed lawmakers as well, armed with a First Amendment argument and testimonials for those who say heterosexual-based counseling helped them choose life without acting on the same-sex attractions. So basically what they're arguing is this, and because once again, the vast majority of people that get put into this end up having horrific problems, killing themselves, and there have been cases where kids have been beaten because they're trying to beat the gay out of them. But because, and this reminds me a heck of a lot of the Anoka Hennepin County School District, when they had the chronic bullying that had, 36 dead kids in that school district. 36 dead kids who are being bullied to death by these Christian hate kids. The school, because the school board had been taken over by religious zealots, said, we can't stop them from bullying them to death. That's violating their First Amendment rights. And they actually punished teachers that tried to intercede and stop the kids from bullying other kids. They wrote rules to protect the bullies. The reality is you cannot weaponize this stuff. And as much as you want to say, oh, it's just First Amendment, you cannot weaponize it. And basically trying to turn someone into something they're not, even if you're just screaming in their face, that's weaponizing it. The issue is a major rallying cry for gay rights behind this year, and a unifying issue for social conservatives as well. The proposal labeled Protection from Conversion Therapy seeks to regulate paid services by a mental health practitioner or mental health professionals that seeks to change the individual's sexual orientation or gender identity, including efforts to change behaviors or gender expressions, or to eliminate or reduce sexual or romantic attractions and feelings towards individuals of the same gender. Basically, so what you're saying is that you can't hold someone and scream at them that they're wrong and evil in this. Wow. I mean, are we really at this point? Can I ask you this? Are we really still at this point where we actually have people today who are being held against their will, being yelled at, and in some horrible cases, even getting beaten and attacked because they're gay. Because some people think that you can beat the gay out of them or scream the gay out of them. Are we still at the point where this is something, this is the hill you want to die on? This is the hill. This is it. This is your grandstand. That someone who doesn't even matter to you. It's just some kid who might be gay or bisexual or transgender. And they're trying to find their way in this world, and instead we grab them by the nape of the neck, chuck them into a chair, start screaming about how they're a sinner, and that they need to like chicks or like need to like dudes. And if they dare get up and eat maybe a quick back slap across the face. I mean, we're really at this point? This is your grandstand for morality. This is it. Because that's what Jesus always said, you know. Hey, don't love them all. Scream in their face until they do what you want them to do. That was Jesus. I remember, I think that was John. I think it's in there. Hold them down and scream in their face until they do what you want them to. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and Paul, I think there was something about like electroshocking people.
Yeah, electroshocking people. Smack them a few times, you know. Mm-hmm. That's, hey, if the disciples are getting out of line, come on. Few knocks in the noggin, huh? I'm Catholic before you come after me. Oh, you better pack a lunch if you're coming after me. For people under 18, the practice could be completely outlawed. It would also be banned for some people classified as vulnerable adults. For those older than 18, here's how State Senator Scott Dibble, the lead sponsor of the Senate, put it. If you're an adult, it's a free country, but it has been disclosed that this has been discredited. It has to be disclosed. So they have to tell you this doesn't work. This is basically just hyper-aggressive people, mostly men who, I'm going to be honest, probably repressing some things themselves. Let's just be honest about it. Screaming in your face to do something, and it doesn't work. What a shock. The vote to get it out of the committee was 10-6. The stories that you hear, I was told constantly that I was in danger to other people. Roger Sanchez, another self-described survivor, said that his 2 years of therapy to cure him from being gay led him to dark places of shame and prompted him to contemplate suicide. Junior Avalos said he had been beaten while attending a two-week conversion camp in Texas. I was treated more like a dog than a 16-year-old, he said. And people that want the ban say those practices continue today. Of course they continue today. Of course they can. Conversion therapy is the dalliance of ignorance and people who thrive on anger and viciousness to validate their lives. This is not about the gay kids. It's about the people who are abusing the kids. And those sickos should not be allowed anywhere near these kids. I am just a regular guy. You go lead your life. I'll go lead mine. Just don't try to go out there and haul some kid that because you feel some misguided morality to haul them into a private room and beat the living daylights out of them and scream in their face because you don't like the fact that they're gay. Because you know what? That needs to go away and go away immediately. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.